Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. There's no other name given whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. We're so glad to be back together once again. I'd like my voice to be back together again too. I regret that I have only one voice to give for the kingdom. Hallelujah. We're going to give it to something. I want to give it to him. Okay? Praise the Lord. Well, we certainly had a wonderful time last night. We thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. And the only, you know, I was trying to think of some words to describe how I felt and the impact of the service last night. And all I could think of was, wow. That was it. Wow. Just wow. Sometimes that covers it, right? God is so good. He is so good. Thank you, Brother Emmanuel, for laboring and surrendering. And we thank the Lord for using our brother. He knows exactly what we need. He's an on-time God. A restoration of whom I'm pleased to dwell in. I just dovetailed with everything else that's just building in these services. Brother Manuel began by taking the text from Exodus that we took the previous Sunday morning. What are the odds of that? Right. Well, in terms of God, 100%. Right? In terms of us, I mean, if we were to get together and try and coordinate and say, well, you bring this and why don't you bring that, and you can cover this and you can cover that. Amen. Same spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he reminded us that the name that you're called by, that identifies your characteristics, it identifies what you will manifest. The name encompasses what's going to be on display. And then we were reminded that the Christ of all the ages manifests himself. He comes in every age. But the name that he comes in is what he's going to manifest, right? And in this last age, he's chosen to manifest himself once again in a body, but this time it's a many-membered body, right? A mystical body, but as Son of Man once again. Right? The Word made flesh. The fullness of the Word in a body. How many believes that? Amen. And then he says, take no thought. Go forward. I'll give you the words to say. Right? I'll speak. Right? And then he proves that it is him by manifesting himself. As he did again last night. How many can say amen to that? There was such a atmosphere of love here last night. I don't see how you could leave looking cross-eyed at anybody. Right? His presence is love. His presence is mercy, grace, forgiveness. Whatever it is that we have need of. We're reminded in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 that he is the Amen of God. Well, he amened his word last night. Amen. And now we're moving into another service here this morning. And before I introduce our speaker, I just want to thank everyone that's had a part in making these meetings special. I hesitate, you know, you always kind of hesitate because we've got two more services this morning and tonight. So we're right in the middle of our services. But if we wait till the end, people will be leaving and going, and we don't want anyone to leave without letting them know how much we appreciate all that they've done to make these meetings special. Amen. And the thing about it is that the smoother things go, the less effort you think went into it, but it's actually the opposite. if things go really smoothly, that means a lot of effort went into it. And I'd say that a lot of effort has went into this, right? I special thanks to our sisters that have labored to prepare the food and just... And to our musicians and those that are working sound and translating, it's a labor of love. We're always torn on that because we want everybody to get blessed and benefit from the services, right? But somebody's gotta work, right? Our deacons and trustees and different ones that are working behind the scenes. We thank you. Amen. Okay, having said that, the meetings are not over. We're in the middle of our meetings, right? So let's continue on worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. This morning, we have a pastor that's going to minister for us, Brother Ed Hammermeister, otherwise known by Brother Manuel as the Hammer. And we are so thankful to have our brother and his wife, Sister Sandy, with us this morning. And their son, Ethan, was with us. And we just appreciate them making the effort to come all this way, come from another country, and hopefully they're warming up here and thawing out a little bit, coming down from Edmonton in the province of Alberta in the country of Canada to our north. Just the province or state is north of the state of Montana, if kind of give you a perspective, also North Dakota. Brother Ed is a real man of God, and Brother Ed he's no novice. He's a seasoned veteran of the gospel, and he's served, and he's shown that he can come under headship, and now God has chosen to use him to step in and as the pastor of the fellowship up in Edmonton, and we salute our brother this morning, and we you know, he's got a lot of good years left. If the Lord tarries, he's got a lot of good years left as well. But he's already been involved in going out on the mission field. You know, I'm sure that he could tell you lots of stories of the experiences that he's had to get this message out into other countries. And so we just thank the Lord for his labors, for his efforts, and the burden that's been on his heart and his faithfulness. And we're looking forward this morning to whatever the Lord has put on his heart. How many will say this morning, I came to hear from the Lord, and I'm going to receive what the Lord has saw fit to send to me. I trust him. Amen. We completely trust him. So, I don't want to keep you. We want to get out of the way and let our brother just come and whatever's on his heart, that's what we want. Amen. I don't know how my mouth dried out so quick. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. That's better. Amen. He knows my name. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands. He knows my name. Father, I have a Father. Aren't you thankful this morning? He calls me his. never leave me. Think about it now. He knows my name. My every thought. He sees each tear that falls.
There we are. Okay. The Bible says don't be covetous, but earnestly covet the best gifts. And I marvel at the singers that sing and how they can do it and how they can just come up here and sing. And God bless you. I've truly enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed the worship and the music. And we've learned some new songs this week. And it's been marvelous. And then you take a brother like Brother Freddie, who will just come up and he'll just sing before the service and just create his own anointing. And he just has a way of doing that. Well, and then you can't forget Brother Manuel for, you know, he'll bring along his own music, his own trumpet, his own everything. And he'll do that. And I've been known to do similar, but I won't go into that today. It's a privilege to be here today, this week, with Love Divine Fellowship, with our brother Doug and sister Jennifer and the family. I truly count it an honor to be a part of this. As I was listening to brother Doug just share their beginnings and how the Lord had worked through them, I felt very humbled. And I believe one day there'll be a great reward because God sees and knows everything. Listen, why don't you just have your seats for a moment and let's have you just hang on if you won't mind. I just wanted to just take a moment and if that would be all right. I realize I'm from another country. I'm from the north and I've got lots of things going on, but I just want to appreciate this fellowship. I want to appreciate Brother Doug, not just for the work locally, and I know there's been a real labor. None of us were here when that storefront opened up. But I assure you that wasn't all easy. I can assure you there's times that it was lonely. There was times it was a struggle. There was times it was a battle. And any of you that have labored for the Lord, you know that there are those seasons. So I just want to appreciate what the Lord has done. And you know, if this was just Brother Doug's work, it would have failed. But it was the Lord's work. And so I want to thank Him, the Lord, for that. And the Bible would say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. So it's not just a natural house. It's not just a natural building, but it's a spiritual house. And I thought of one of the last messages that Brother Branham preached in Tucson. It was not the last, but what house will you build me? And I've often gone back to that, and it was a renewal for Brother Branham because of being up in the mountains and having different things and different events. And but he was also looking forward to what the message would do, not just maybe through him, but what would happen beyond him. And it was I've gone to that, and I just looked at it again last night. And I thought of as some of the statements Brother Branham made, and I know they relate to the church that was here at the time with Brother Perry, and I know Brother Doug's roots come out of that. But Brother Branham would say there's something about a man when he's driven to do things beyond his own thinking. And Brother Branham talked, he said, I feel it a privilege to be brought out here into this wilderness. But I believe that in doing that, God has opened up to us the mysteries of this last day. and we are here with this message. He would go on to say that, you know, the inspiration that was given to Brother Perry, but I would also say to men like Brother Doug. And, you know, he didn't ride on anybody's coattails. I believe that he labored for the Lord as the Lord laid it on his heart. And he had to go through some tough ground. And I want to appreciate that today. And I just want to say thank you, Brother Doug. And not just for the point of a local church, but I want to say thank you for where I've seen him work and labor on the mission field. Our church has, over the years, been very involved in missionary work. I went on my first missionary trip probably over 35 years ago or something like that, 30, 33, 34 years ago. And I was just a young preacher, preached just a few meetings to the youth in our church at the time. And over a five-week period, I ended up ministering 18 times. And the little labors that I felt discouraged in, I watched the Lord suddenly take them and use them. And I will say that, you know, there's a little quotation that the prophet would bring, and he would say, you know you're in the will of God when you're doing mission work with the Word of God. And I'll say there's a blessing on God for us to, you know, we never want to become so inward that we forget what's out there. And I believe we need to do that. We need to keep the message alive. We need to keep it as a witness. We need to be those lived voices that the prophet had told us about. And so I appreciate the labors that Brother Doug has done, and not just Brother Doug. I want to also thank the Lord for Brother Andy. I just have met him this time, and Sister Julie. I appreciate the spirit of our brother Andy, and I say God bless you. And I also would say to the others that are here, the other song leaders, Brother Lucas, to the musician, and as already has been described, and it's not just the officers and the deacons, that's all a part of it, the sound techs, but it's every one of us. We're all in this together. And I just want to say thank you for making us so welcome. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you're doing here. I wanted to read one scripture pertaining to this before I get into my thought here this morning, but it was in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and it was just, as I was looking at it, it just was a little bit of a blessing to me, because 30th anniversary isn't like a dedication, but it's a landmark. And it's a landmark, and anytime we come for a meeting, it is a time to be renewed. And it was a time that we want to be renewed, and we want to be, I'm looking for that in the meetings. I felt just challenged. I felt that God pricked me in certain areas and caused me to go a little further. And I pray that He would do that and cause us by His presence, by His word, by His gifts, that He would lift us up a little higher. Not just leave us where we're at. We don't just come here as a memorial, but we come here to be changed, to be quickened, to be something greater than what we have been. So in if I just read this little thing, it's in 2 Chronicles 15, and if I could just read a couple of verses there. And this was at a time, and actually it was when King Asa in the kings, and he was a king that was right and good, and you could read part of this in chapter 14. I won't be able to read all of that, but he really had a desire for the Lord to help him, and he said, it's not with how many there is or how many numbers there are on our side, but it's if God is with us. And that's what we desire. I believe we're coming to an hour when all the props are being removed that we've been able to depend on. We've been able to depend on things. I believe we're coming to the hour where it's God and God alone, where it's His Word and it's His Word alone. And so in verse 15, verse 7, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon the prophet, and he says, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And I say, don't get weary in your labors, but keep pressing on. And you're going to get opposition. But you know what? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And it says in verse 8, and when Asa the king heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. And he put away the abominable idols out of all of the land. of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the city which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And I just desire that we renew and we rededicate and we say, oh God, take our vessels. You know, you're doing a renewal. You're doing a renovation. We've heard that a few times. And these brothers that are contractors and working in house renovations. And if you don't work in house renovations, you got a wife who's always looking at something in the house. Is that right, Brother Doug?
That's right.
Yeah, that's Sister Jennifer. It's okay. We love you. We appreciate you. And God bless you. Yeah, my wife smiled a couple times when she heard some of those comments, you know, about, you know, this renovation that Brother Manuel was talking about. She says, we've been renovating for 30 years and we're still not done. And so, at any rate, we want to just take these temples and, Lord, not just renovate, but renew them, refresh them. We're eagles. Sometimes we get down in that moping period. Renew us, Lord. Quicken us. And as the prophet would say, in what house will you build me? Oh, for that feeling I once had when I was young and for that something. And he says, I watch the spirit and it just kind of comes in and creeps in. You know, you don't see that thing coming on you. But after a while, you're walking and you're weighted down. But when God lifts it, like it creeps on you. But when God lifts it, oh, it's real. Stand up. And I believe that's what we're here to do today. So, Brother Doug, I just want to encourage you. And I say, God bless you and God reward your labors. And not just Brother Doug, Sister Jennifer, but the family, musicians. God bless you. I don't know. If it takes a pair of shoes, I don't know which pair I'm going to wear. I would love to wear the shoes that, where'd you buy your shoes at? You know, and then Brother Freddie talked about it as well, but I wish I had one of each maybe. Like if I lean this way, I know which way I'd go if I lean that way. But then I wish I had the musician's shoes. Like those are the joy shoes. Those are the ones that are a blessing to us. So, oh, isn't God good?
Yes.
You love him today?
Yes.
Lord, renew us.
Yes.
Renew me.
Yes.
Renew our faith.
Yes.
Quicken us. Refresh us.
Yes.
Make us new like you want from the beginning.
Yes.
Amen. That's just my little pre-admonition to all of you. And I want to greet you from Edmonton, Alberta. I know the names that we've been given. I came from a German background, and they always gave the names by the profession. So Hammermeister means master of the hammer. And a brother overseas, Brother Jim Nyamichi, when we were ministering in Ghana, he put my name up there, and he started at one end of the blackboard, and he went across to the other. And when he did that, he says, "This is Brother Ed Hammermeister. We want him to hammer the word down. We want him to do that." And so, I've got to follow through on that. I'm from End Time Message Tabernacle in Edmonton. Last year we had our 30th anniversary in the church building we are in. The church actually started 20 years earlier under Brother Harold Hildebrandt. I've labored under Brother Hildebrandt for 35 years. I started out in his home meetings. I was a 12-year-old boy. I wasn't saved. And I always loved the corner seat in the living room because I could put my head against the wall and fall asleep. And I didn't even try to act like I was awake. But I would do that, and I really didn't provide a lot of inspiration. And I felt all the years later I had to make up for it. So we tried to hold up Brother Harold's hand. I've worked under him on the mission field. I've worked with him as a minister, as a help. I've worked as the associate minister. I worked as the acting pastor, and now as the pastor, as our brother has passed on. So I'm grateful to be here. It's an honor to be a part of this. It's an honor to be with you. I really, as I was listening to the services this week, and I was thinking, these brothers are not making it easy. I've got to preach today, And I really was starting to get nervous, but you know what? We're just going to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
When we went and we got our car rental here the other day, and we arrived at the airport, and we flew into Phoenix, and they said, okay, well, you go up to this floor and you get your car, and then, and you go to your car, and they say, go into this aisle, and you can pick from any car on either side. And there was 12 cars on one side and 12 cars on the other side. I mean, they had every type of car there was. There was a Mitsubishi, there was Volkswagens, there was even Nissans there. There was all kinds of cars there. And you know what? I was looking for the BMWs. I didn't see those logos. And I was looking for all of those things. And I'm going like, which one do I pick? Like, this one's got these bells and this one's got this. And I'm saying all of that for a reason. Don't look at the one I picked. It's a Volkswagen, but it had more room than the others. My son was coming. But I, you know what? I felt the same way coming to the service. You know, there was a season in my life as a young minister. I'd study, I'd get so anointed, and I thought, this is the service that's going to bring on the rapture. This is the one. Well, I've learned a long time ago, it's going to take more than what I have in my feeble mind. And I say, Lord, let me be a part of everything else. So I said all of that because, hey, there's so many messages I could have picked from. But eventually you have to go a direction. So we're going to go a direction this morning. Let's stand together. Let's just maybe, I feel like maybe just change the order for a moment. Let's, a song that we all know, Only Believe, Only Believe. If we can just sing that this morning. I know we can have fun. I know we can do these things. But this is also the Word of God. And we want the Lord to minister to us. It's an anthem for us. But Lord, let us be real believers this morning. Let's take your word this morning. Father, we're grateful to be standing here this morning. Father, we appreciate one another. We appreciate the fellowship that we can have naturally, physically, to see one another. But Lord, there's another fellowship that goes deeper than all of that. And Lord, you have called us from eternity. Lord, and we are here being manifest in time. But Lord, we believe that you are gathering up all those that you have foreknown, that you have purchased, those names that were on a book, Lord, that had to be manifest at this time. Lord, we pray this morning that we would hear that the seed that you have placed within would respond, Lord, to the call in this hour. Father, we want to thank you this morning. And as we stand here, we are asking first, forgive us our shortcomings. Lord, we don't say that as just under condemnation, but we say that as your children. And as your children, we do fall short. But Lord, we also recognize you've made propitiation. So we're inviting you, Lord, to take this service. Take the speaker, take the hearer, be the anointing. Quicken us, Lord, for the hour that we live in. Lord, in this day, as we set our faces to you, we ask you to take every part of this service and every one of us. Lord, we're holding needs. And you are here. You're still the Word that is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. Would you minister to us today? Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll invite you to turn in your Bible today to the book of Isaiah. Thank you to the musicians. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. I just trust that you don't spend half the service trying to figure me out, but that you could just jump right into the Word. When I was younger, I wasn't saved at the time. I played on the football team. I was a sophomore, and the coaches left the room, and it was just the captains that were there. And the captains that were there, they stood up, and they just started. One of them says, "Are we going to go out and get them?" And then somebody says, "Yeah. Are we going to go out and get them?" And they yell, "We're going to kill them." And he threw his helmet against the wall, and everybody rallied, and they went running out. Well, next year I happened to be captain of the football team, and I thought, well, that's what captains do. So I just said the same things, and, "Are we going to kill them? Are we going to get them?" And I threw my helmet against the wall, and nobody moved. So I realized I just got to be myself. So I'm going to be myself. Is that all right this morning? All right. And we've got a chief captain who is here. So we're going to do that today. Isaiah chapter 59. We're going to start reading here if we can. And this will be in verse 19. And I've got to remember that somebody's translating, so I'll try to slow down when I need to slow down here. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Now this is a promise. When Rebekah was met by Eliezer at the well, and they had to ask the family, "Will you go?" She said, "I will go." And when they went, they prophesied over her, "Be the mother of millions, do these things, and let thy seed possess the gate of the enemy." So we're still under that mandate. And here the prophet Isaiah, he reiterates it. You're under something. You've got a seed that is in you. Let's just go right into verse 60, chapter 60. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." God bless his word. You may have your seats this morning. I'm going to also ask you to go. I didn't acknowledge my wife, but my wife is here. We've also been married 30 years. We were the first marriage in the new church. And so we're still here and we're still together. And it hasn't been easy. But I've told her, God bless you. And we've got our son, Ethan. Just appreciate a young man that will fly all the way to Arizona to hear his dad preach. And at the risk of having to stick around for a second service, he's heading out this afternoon. But God bless him. We appreciate what God has done in his life. And we've just seen it's greater than anything I could hope for when God takes a hold of a young man's life. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We're going to follow this through from Isaiah. I'll read a few scriptures to start, and we're just going to look for the channel that the Lord would have us move into. But Romans chapter 9, we're going to start reading there in verse 28, two verses. "For he will finish the work, and he will cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah has said before,
except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have been as Sodom, and we would have been made like unto Gomorrah. You can actually read that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. And he says, except the Lord had left a remnant. Yeah. But a seed, I want you to think about the seed that is within you. I'm speaking this morning on God's restraining force. And the underlying thought will be the prevailing seed. You can take this. I drew this out of a number of messages we preached at home some years back, but it just came to me again. So we're going to take this in a thought, and the Lord willing, it'll be a little bit of a foundation for the next service, but let's just take this morning. Also, Revelations 12, we'll just read this. Revelations 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with them. Now, this is, you know, Revelations isn't written just chronologically, but it's written and it establishes a framework. And in the greatest battle ever fought, Brother Branham would say, and the battle that was in heaven came to earth. Right. And I'll just drop this in, but it came to a woman. It came to a womb. It came to, Satan watched and he saw God create, and it's the one thing he desired and he would have loved to create, but he couldn't. It wasn't in him. It wasn't given him this privilege. And he still can't do it. So the only thing he can do is pervert. The only thing he can do is find a vessel and try to pervert and manipulate to get his way in it. And he watched, and I believe it's in serpent seed, but he watched creation, and he saw creation was finished, and then out of creation, God took this woman, and this woman didn't fit the pattern. But this woman, and he saw and he noticed that she was a target. And that's the way he watches you. He watches the favor of God on you. He watches the favor of God. And when God drops a handful in purpose for you, just give me a wee bit more. Thank you. A little bit more here. Thank you. And he'll watch that. So he studies. He doesn't know who is seed. And he doesn't know anything, but he watches God. And now God doesn't isolate us in a bubble. He doesn't leave us to our own. He places us here, but inside of you there's a seed germ that you weren't even aware of, that I wasn't aware of. But as the days go long and as the sun shines, it begins to manifest. At home we have in the Pacific Northwest, now I'm in the prairie, so I'm 12 hours from the ocean, but in the Pacific Northwest they have the Pacific salmon. The Pacific salmon are an unusual creature. They're born in the fresh waters of the mountain streams in British Columbia. And they, when they're born, they take a journey down the stream and they travel into the ocean. And as they travel into the ocean, they're in the ocean and they're there for a 4-year lifespan. At about 3.5 years, they journey, they travel in large schools and fish. And as they journey, at about 3.5 years, they start to, something inside in their body clock starts to tick. And it turns them back, and it causes them to go back in the direction that they were born. And the direction they're born, and there's hundreds and thousands of streams that spill off into the ocean. And they're traveling in these large schools, and these fish didn't all come from the same place. So they can't look at each other. They can't even look at what the other fish around them are doing, but they've got to respond by the call that's within them. And as they travel and as they go along and as they're traveling along, they feel a pull. It's almost a magnetic pull, and science has looked at it and they've tried to figure it out. But all of a sudden they say, I've got to go this way. And as they go this way, they begin to migrate towards the river, the stream bed where they came from. And scientists have actually looked at it. And they've said that fish living in salt water for 4 years, if it can detect one drop of the fresh water that it was born in 8 million gallons of ocean water. One drop. That's enough for them to get their bearings. Friends, think about how you came to this message. You had a seed in you. You didn't even know it was there. But that seed, you heard teachers. You went to college. You maybe went to different places. You heard all kinds of voices. But one day when you heard a voice, there was a magnetic pull. You didn't understand it. If God put that law in a fish, how much more did he put it in us? There's a responding seed in us. There's a seed that is meant to come back to God. So these fish, they do that. And so we don't recognize these things. Now, I'm in the middle of Revelation chapter 12, and I just took this, but I want you to think about this as we move along. It says the great dragon which was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I got to read one more verse, but just hang on. So as I'm relating this, these fish, as they come, they meet many obstacles. They got to swim against the current. They got to jump waterfalls. They've got to get back to the place. And when they finally get there, they lay their eggs and that seed is there and another generation is born. And that's where they die. And I'll say this. When we were born, the devil is such a liar. He'll put, your heart's pulling, it's beating, but your head is going, this seems really strange. This is weird. And the devil tells you, you don't want to go there. That is really weird. That's strange doctrine. That's this. Now, many years later, after you've been in it, he uses the same word that was strange to condemn you with it. He's saying, you really believe that? You're not living up to it. Listen, he's a liar. He's always been a liar, and he will continually be a liar. So we are commissioned. We are commissioned to withstand whatever Satan's army throws at us. It's not within our strength. It's the seed germ that God placed within us. So the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and, conjunction, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Friends, there's only one group of people on the earth today that truly love God above everything else. And that honor has been given to the bride of Jesus Christ. And I'll say, as you go along, you'll have different separations and different things that come. But it will prove what is really in you. God knew what was in Abraham. But he had to let Abraham know what was in him too. And so he would test him. He would test him in Genesis 12 when he would separate. He would test him in Genesis 15, what he would do with the sacrifice. He would test him in Genesis 17 and 18. But he knew all along what was there. And God, as Abraham walked and he began to recognize, I am not of this earth. I am not of this world. I'm looking for a kingdom. I'm looking for a king. And as I walk, it began to manifest more and more of what was in him. So now let's take these thoughts and go back to Genesis 1. I feel like I need to slow down and just take my thoughts here. At home when you're a pastor and you can take it easy and just pick up in the next service. But we've already had a number of services, so I want to drop in just a few points and just move it along. So if I don't complete a thought or I don't want to be discombobulated or anything, but I just want to take the thought that I feel is here this morning. So Genesis 1, and this is in verse 26. Any of you that are worried about me preaching from Genesis to Revelation, I've already gone to Revelation back in Genesis. We're just going to pick up a few scriptures in between, if that's all right. So, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have... Now, I want you to look at this. God never changes his mind about his word. His purpose will not be defeated. No matter what the conditions are, no matter what state we're found in, but when faith finds its bedding ground, no circumstances will be considered. So we need to look at what God's purpose is. I'm not here because I chose to come this way. He chose me. And I want to follow through on what He saw in me. And I want to take Him at His word. So He says, now, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now, this is a theophany being. This is man and woman together. And verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Now, just look at these words. Be fruitful. In other words, prosper. Prosper in the thing that I'm sending you in. Multiply. In other words, increase in number. And then He would go on to say, and replenish. Or in other words, renew or restore. You know, your body, millions of cells will die, but they'll be restored. You know, there's a continual restoration of the earth every day. So there needs to also be an inflow and an outflow. We need to continually purge. And so He's telling them, replenish the earth. And then He says these words, and subdue it. Now this is really interesting, because if God created, He said, let the earth bring forth, you know, bring forth animals, let them bring forth botany life, let them bring forth, but yet left to its own, that earth would grow wild. You know, it's called the call of the wild, or the call of the wild. That's why it needed a man to till the soil. That's why He needed to put man on earth, because man had a position of ownership. Man had a position where after God created everything, He sets the man and the woman. He says, now subdue it. In other words, make it subservient. Make it subordinate. Rule over it. Now, you would think that's strange, you know, that you'd have to put anything under your dominion when it's perfect. But you need to bring it all together. And I'll say, we continually need to bring our body subservient. If you take your flesh and let your flesh go, you know, it'll you listen to your flesh, you're going to go to a lot of places you wouldn't want to go if you're a believer. And you let your spirit go, you mar it, you do things. But you've got a soul inside. That's the headquarters that governs over your spirit. That's the headquarters that governs over your body. So we need to recognize we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God had this purpose that He wanted man to be a force that would restrain what was going on around the earth, because the earth left to its devices would go wild. And you want to see the earth left to its devices? Look outside right now. So God had this purpose from the beginning. And so He had man and a woman. It was God's purpose. Just jump over with me. I'll go to Genesis 2 in a moment. As Brother Branham would say in Fundamental Foundation for Faith, he says, God made man in the beginning. He made him superior to anything on earth. He gave him jurisdiction of everything to control everything. He controlled animal life, fowl life, fishes. He controlled the winds. He controlled the plant life. He controlled everything. That was our place from the beginning. This is where we're going back to. Now, just hold that thought. Genesis 2, we'll go to verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So out of this great place, there was a garden. There was something God had in His mind. And there He put the man that He'd formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant in the sight and good for the food, the tree of life, and also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Drop down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and He put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe, you know, we can take different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We can take it and we can formalize it if we're not careful. We can take the government of the church and we can say that this is the way it is and this is such and such. Or we can take, well, when God comes, anything's possible. Well, I believe all of those things. When the Spirit of God moves, it'll cause you to do things and say things. But somewhere in between all of that, it's going to take God in your vessel. Once these meetings are over, if God has touched you, you're going to have to wake up on a Monday morning. You're going to have to take the kiddies to school. You know, even the prophet himself, after the greatest meetings, and he thought, you know, now the church will see it under the opening of the seals. Well, he had to wake up on a Tuesday morning and maybe take the garbage out. It has to translate down to a life, but we need to see that we're here for a purpose. And everything needs to come into subjection. That means it's not just in this fantastics of a meeting or in the anointing of a meeting, but it has to work its way down. It has to filter into marriages. It has to filter into church attendance. It has to filter in to what you watch and what you look at. It has to filter into every aspect of your life. And there's times literally, you know, you feel like, where's that anointing that was in the meeting? So I don't want it to just come on my flesh. I don't want it just on my spirit. But let it come to my soul. And from the soul, may you rule over everything, Lord. So he goes now, he says, he took man, he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now I'm just using this as a principle. God has not changed his mind. Now, from fundamental foundation of faith, and this is a wonderful message. All the messages are wonderful. The beginning of man. You know, it's amazing listening to these things fly over. I thought, if I could just orchestrate that they get a whole bunch to fly over as we come to the climax of the service, this would be wonderful. Like, what an impact that would have. We have a day, a holiday. It's called Family Day. And they have, in a park not far from our school, they have fireworks that go off. Well, they go off at 7 p.m. in the middle of our evening service. And whoever's ministering that night, I just encourage him, hit your climax quick. And the fireworks go off. You know, people will just... My. You're really easy to preach to. God bless you. God bless you. My, I'm getting distracted over and over, Brother Doug, here. Just, hey. Now, he says, in the beginning, God gave man the power over everything on earth. But after the fall, he lost that power. He became unconscious of that fact. After losing his relationship and friendship and fellowship with God, all his great channels became clogged up. He could not get through. And what Adam was in God, Christ has redeemed us back to that. Now a redeemer is to bring it back to its original origin. Adam never had to be sick. He never had to die. He never had a heartache. Everything was hid. He was God's child. But when he fell, when he says what he lost in the fall, Christ came as a redeemer to bring him back to that. Now here's the way Brother Branham portrays this, and he's good. Now, through the fall, man has lost consciousness of what the Father put him here on earth to do. Now, the first son, Jesus Christ, at 12 years old, he stands up in the temple and he would say, the first redeemed son, if you want to call it that. And he would say, I am here. I must be about my Father's business. They said, how come you're not with your father, Joseph? And no, I must be about my Father's business. And I'll say this, we need to keep our focus more than ever now, because there's a lot of directions we can go. The message we have, I will say it this way, it is not to be picked apart. It is not for us to take our little thing and use it for ourselves, but we need to embody the whole. We need to take the whole message. When they came out of Egypt and they took the lamb, they had to eat the whole lamb. It was a smorgasbord, but you had to eat every part of it. Under the mighty angel that came down in Revelation 10, you had to take the book, you had to eat the book. Oh, it tasted good, but in your belly, it was bitter. But you have to take the whole thing. Oh, I love the meetings. I love to hear a special speaker, but you need to have a home church. You need to pay your tithes. Oh, that gets kind of bitter sometimes, but it's a part of the message. And you need to be faithful in church attendance, faithful in prayers, faithful in family devotions, faithful in everything that God has ordained us to. Stay about the Father's business. Now, he says, in other words, all of the plumbing, as it was, in our brain, in the outlets and the faith, has become clogged up with business affair, with home life, with domestic things. It's all become so clogged till God can't operate through those channels that he made a man for. I say, oh God, we all need help. Why does Satan fight you so hard? Why is it when you go, I'm just going to send an email to a friend of mine. Oh, I got 3 notifications over here, here, here. And you're over there. And I said, and after half an hour, I say, okay, what was I doing? Oh, yeah, I got to send an email. How often? I'm sorry. You don't think that happens to preachers? Confession is good for the soul. But we need to become aware of it. Listen, we are here to stop what the devil is doing. We are God's restraining force on earth now. That's what we were commissioned in the beginning. And friends, that's what we are here to fulfill in this end time. Listen, the power of the seed within is greater than you think it is. When Brother Branham talks about Admiral Byrd, and he had his expedition to the South Pole. And, you know, in those days, 1900s, early 1900s, he brought along cattle. Because the cattle would give them fresh milk along the way. But what he would do with the cattle, he thought it's going to get cold, so he made coats for them. You know, hey, listen, you don't have that problem here. Canadians know. We've got summer coats. We've got winter coats. We've got spring coats. We've got fall coats. Well, this Admiral Byrd, he knew that. He says, we're going to make coats for these cattle. But the amazing thing was, as the weather got colder, the cattle automatically grew more hair out of them. They grew and they grew, and he didn't even need the coats. Why? Because the seed that is within us is more than enough for the conditions of the day. When Jesus went to Calvary, he died on Calvary, but we were in him then. The overcomers in Laodicea were in him then. The overcomers in every age were in him then. The martyrs were in him. And he died for that purpose. And he sent back that Holy Spirit in every age. There was an anointing. There was an anointing on the ox age. They didn't know how could those mothers give up their children. But there was an anointing on them. There was an anointing on the days of Luther when he would stand up and protest the Catholic Church. Why? God put that in the seed. Friends, there's an anointing on us today if we yield to it. And it is greater than anything that the devil will throw at us. On the other side, what age did you come out of? Well, someone said, you came out of the dark age and you're going to sit there and listen to that testimony. And then, oh, what age did you come out of? Laodicea. You came out of Laodicea. You survived? Yeah. I didn't see your t-shirt. You survived Laodicea. And they'll call everybody, hey, this guy came out of Laodicea. We need to hear his testimony. Oh, yeah. Friends, the days are evil. But the God is still greater than the evil days that we're under. Now, our plumbing got clogged up. This will help the renovators here. Get a good plumber. Less damage in your house. You know, over the years, 30 plus years, now 40 years since I was saved, 35 years maybe ministering, we have had hot water tanks burst. We have had sewage backup. We've had everything. We live on an acreage. And it always happens on a Saturday night as you're getting ready for service. I can't figure that.
but I know who does it. So Brother Branham says, now, Satan, by the laws of sin and death, makes everything that has sin and death operate. He sends a cancer. Man recognizes it. They receive it. We recognize and receive it. Now, if Satan, by his power, makes his laws work in man, how much more ought God, with his power, make his laws work in man? If we could recognize it. Now, I want to yield to that. I want to learn those things. And it's not just as the brother that was ministering the other day, it's not just a student comparing scripture with scripture. It's not intellectual. But you need to lay under that anointing in the presence of the Son. You need to be in a place where God can, you know, Satan's taken away our meditation. Everything is so busy. You jump from here, you jump to there. There's no attention span in people anymore. You need to pull back. Hear his voice. Listen to the message. Put everything aside. When the kiddies go to school, find a place. They asked Spurgeon one time. Spurgeon, they said, what's more important? Is it to read your Bible or to pray? And he answered the question, well, what's more important? Is it more important to breathe in or breathe out? You need both. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible. You need to continually be under it. Why? He's trying to stop you. Church, why do you hunger? Why do you thirst? It's the Father trying to get this secret to you. Why do you battle so much? Because the enemy knows that if we get the true revelation of the two spirits that are in the Christian church, she will be an invincible army. Now the laws of sin and death. I love what Brother Ram says. I'm picking up just a few pieces here and I gotta go. He says, I believe that we're nearing the age when people are going to recognize these things. If the law of sin and death works in people, then the law of the liberty of Christ has come unto us to set us free from these things. We've had so much vain philosophy, so many teachings. It's set the human mind to a revolution of thinking on matters this and that and taking away from the Word of God. So I believe God has a purpose if we can recognize it. Yes, sir. Amen. We're in a battle like we never knew before. Right. You know, if you would begin to think, those of you that have been around a while, and you began to think about, you know, even homosexuality. You know, Brother Branham said some really strong things. But look at how it's infested. It's not just homosexuality. It's transgenderism. It's our children go to school and they hear things in kindergarten that ought not to ever have been heard. My goodness, like we are lifting in the fullness of the manifestation of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It is on a level that is unparalleled. And I say this, we cannot just go about haphazardly. You know, you're never going to overcome it. Like there's good in it. But not in some of those things I just mentioned, but there's good in that tree, but you're not going to be able to discern by just going on that tree. You won't be able to discern by going on Google. You're going to need the tree of life in you. The tree of life will tell you what Brother Manuel was preaching yesterday, the comforter that will lead you and guide you into all truth. The one that will show you things to come. The one that holds back things. The one that keeps you until you're ready to withstand it. I believe that we're in a great, great hour. Okay, I need to move along. Let me. So, the Bible would say, except the days be cut short, there be no flesh saved. Now, we would never imagine how bad that could be. In the message, adoption. Brother Branham will say, this is in adoption one. He, by foreknowledge, foresaw us, knowing that he was a savior. He was the only one that was going to save. Now there had to be something lost. In his great foreknowledge, he looked down and saw everyone that would accept it.
That's right.
Now, he saw that. He saw your desire to serve him. But here's Satan buffeting you. I marvel that the prophet of the age didn't come to accept Christ till he was 23. And it said when he was 12 years old, he would have accepted the Lord, but a dark spirit hung over him.
Now, this is Satan continually trying to suppress, trying to do these things. But he can't stop the seed that is within. The seed that responds. The seed that breaks through the darkness. You know, we have spring and after winter, you know, all the seeds that were underneath the snow and that were underneath, they begin to push out. And you know, it's amazing how they push out through concrete. You can't stop the power of a seed. And the power of the seed of God is unparalleled beyond any other. So God has created that within you. Now, he also knew the wickedness of Satan. So he says, the infinite God who saw all things. Now listen to this. He's seen the deceitfulness of Satan, what he would do. Now he knows, I know they're going to respond, but it's going to be so wicked. So you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to write their name down right now. I already saw what's in them. So he says, he put their name there. He knew the Antichrist would be so religious that he would deceive the elected if it was possible. But it is impossible because their names were foreordained before the foundation of the world. By election, he chose them. And friends, you can't even stop it. I can't stop it. It was in me. When I listened to the testimony, we had Brother Jack Wallach, actually from Poland, was at our assembly just now. When he was young, he was a skinhead. He had his hair cut in those Mohican things. He said, there is no God, there is nothing. And he says, that God would take me and take me out of that. I owe him my whole life. Why? God put that in him. You all have testimonies. God put that in you. God allowed you to have that in a right season, it would come forth. It would bring forth and it would start a journey. Now, he saw the deceitfulness of Satan. So he predestinated us. Now consider this battle that Satan's continually over us. In Shalom, I think Brother Branham would talk about how something has struck the earth. And he says, I don't find the genuineness in men and women. They don't have the ladylike. You know, she's caught in a web of Hollywood. And all of these things, it seems that they can't pull away from it. And I'll say this, unless there's a seed of God. No. Same with men. They don't have that masculine touch. They want to wear suede shoes with purple. They want to act like women. I went, we have a brother in the church he used to be a weightlifter, Olympic weightlifter. He trains some young men just in his own back garage and he trains them. He had a knee operation and he had to kind of work out a bit and he couldn't do it in his garage. So I met him at a gym and we're at a gym and this guy, the biggest, burliest guy with skin tight leotards and coming out there and I going, whew. I wish I'd never seen that. And they're like puffed up and just like going, oh my goodness. I'd rather go back to that football team that I played with and throw my helmet around. And you know, like I watched the captains, you know, before. I think one of the captains was about the size of Brother Emmanuel. He did just that. He threw that helmet around and he says, we're gonna kill him. And I thought, like, you sure you didn't play football up there somewhere? But he says it struck the earth. You know what? Except the Lord left a seed, I too would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Where would I be? Where would you be? But the Lord left a seed. And thank God, if we're there, then let's stay separate. Let's not mix it. Let it not infiltrate us. Now, I'm going to go to this scripture, 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. And sometimes we view ourselves as invincible. We view ourselves as, you know, I'm in the message. I've got it all. But we need to recognize the only part of you that's been redeemed is your soul. Your flesh is still unredeemed. Your spirit is the battleground. So we need to look at ourselves a little bit more clearly. I want to use this for a moment. So 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. This is, now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria. So this was Ahab's son. Now I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can read it later. But after Ahab, he had sons, and Ahab, he had the king of Moab who watched over some of the sheep of Israel. But after Ahab died, now his son Jehoram and the king of Moab rebels. So now Jehoram's got to be able to fight this battle. And now he's not a spiritual guy. I mean, he's this way. So in verse 7, he sends a notice and he says, and he went and he sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go. As thou art my people, as I am as thou art, thy people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses, which way shall we go up? And he answered, let's go through the wilderness of Edom. So now you see this thing coming together. The king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom in verse 9. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. There was no water. And the king of Israel said, alas, the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. This is a story that transcends our own individuality, but it also is a reflection of the world around us. Because what's happened here, he's got Jehoshaphat, he's the spiritual one of Judah. The king of Israel, that's the make-believer. And he's got the king of Edom, which is the unbeliever. And they're all called together now to go to war. Now God has called you to war. But he took your soul and he brought along Jehoshaphat, that's your soul. That's a representation here. But then he took along the king of Israel. That's your spirit realm. That's the part that will reason things out. Yeah, this seems like a good alliance. Let's do it this way. Listen, that was in the prophet. And he says, I'm going to preach the greatest meeting I've ever preached. God sent me here. I'm going to come back from out west. I'm going to go preach the seven seals. And I'm going to study. He starts opening his note, first seal. This is what it is. This is the horse rider. That was the king of Israel. And but then, about noon, something came in. What was it? It was that representation for the hour. That's the part we need to look to. And here's the king of Edom. That's your flesh. That's the world around us. These three are always with you. Now let's follow this through. So here's Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat in verse 11. Is there not a prophet of the Lord? So something didn't quite sit right. Even though the king of Israel said, look, your horses are my horses. We're all one. We're all this. Have you ever heard that story somewhere before? Didn't that happen with Baal Peor and a prophet? Didn't that happen? No, we're just all one. No, we're not one. Listen, I am thankful there's something in me. You ought to be thankful there's something in you. That when you're reasoning and the devil takes you down a road, that there's something that responds and said, hold on a second. Is there not a prophet of the Lord here? And so he says, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel said, king's servants said, here's Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So here, all three kings, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what do I have to do? So he looks at Ahab's son, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? He says, go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother. And the king of Israel said to him, no, the Lord has called these three kings. Oh, sounds like a good plan, right? Concocted up here, it's nothing. Friends, our thinking has nothing to do in this. I can come and I could try to order the service in this way, but unless he comes, unless he ministers to us, friends, we will be deceived if we rely on our own thinking, if we rely even on our learning of the message. It has to go deeper. Brother Branham would say to the sisters, don't have long hair just because I told you. Oh, But you said, Brother Brown, no, it has to go deeper than that. It has to be something inbred. I am not like the world. I am not like that. I am born of God. There's a part of me that has to be expressed that is greater than all of that. I was just a young man, and God was dealing with me. I came out of the, raised in a believer's home, broken home, father one way, mother another way. I knew when I went to church one weekend with my father, one with my mother was a believer. Hey, I was young enough to have this discernment. If I grow up and I want to have a good time at church, I'll go to my dad's church. Because when the service is over, they rented a gym. They fold out the tables and they play cards and have snacks. I thought, wow, that's a church I'd want to go to. I also knew if I ever want to get serious with God, there were some services that we were in, and I knew there was something more than just a preacher and just a congregation. I knew there was another being in that building. So God calls me out. And somebody invites me to a Christmas concert. It's at a Pentecostal church. And they have, it's kind of like a pyramid-shaped building like this was. And at the front, they have what's called the singing Christmas tree. And it's people sitting. And I thought, I'm sitting there. This is kind of nice. It feels religious. But you know what? The seed that was in me was like Jehoshaphat and said, there's got to be something more. This was a step. Thank God I made it that far. But surely there's something more. If you're a young person raised in the message, I say this, God bless you. He put you in the right home. I know sometimes, I was a teenager once too. And we'd go to church and we'd drive down the road where my friends were playing ball. And I'd have to duck in the back seat because I dropped something because I didn't want them to see me going to church. I wasn't saved yet. But I'll say this, friends, God put you in that home. And I say, you need to ask yourself the question. Don't look at it begrudgingly with your outside man, but say, Lord, do you have a purpose for me? So I went beyond the singing Christmas tree, just so you know. And we don't have a Christmas tree in our church, and it's not a doctrine. So just so you know, I'm not propagating that this morning. But I'll say, there's something greater than all of that. So here's these kings. And here's Jehoshaphat, and he says, and Elijah says, what are you doing here? And the king says, these three kings, verse 13, to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not even look towards you. Now, you ask yourself this question. Does God look on your outside? Hey, I'm dressed right. I'm wearing a matching tie. That was a big challenge this morning. I only had so many ties. And I go, I'm dressed right. I got... My wife is kind of just snickering over there, but I know why. And listen, and because I would have made the wrong choice. I always do. But anyway, so she's here for more than that purpose, by the way. So how does this happen? Anyway, but think about Sarah and Abraham. Abraham was representing that woman. And Abraham, when there's a visitation of God, and he says, and the first words at that season were, where is Sarah, your wife? And when that came, and he says, surely you're going to have a child, she laughed. Now, God would have struck her down, but there was something representing her.
Amen.
And there would have been times in our earlier confession that if God would have looked at our flesh or our spirit, but he wasn't looking at that. He was looking at the seed that was inside of you. Oh, the mercies of God, the grace of God. And he says, now, I wouldn't even look towards you. Now, on top of that, like this unholy alliance had Elisha in a bad mood. And he says, I'm going to say something wrong. Bring me a minstrel. Bring me a musician. And so they began to do that, and the hand of the Lord came upon him, and suddenly he just started to proclaim, okay, you're going to win this battle, but you're not going to do it the way you think you are. You're going to have to dig a little deeper. You're going to have to make ditches. And you're going to have to allow, listen, and don't just scoop a little bit out. You're going to have to dig deeper. And I want to encourage you today. The message is full of riches. Dig a little deeper, friends. Don't just let it sit idle. There are riches that are there. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the honor of kings to search it out. You'll find that in Proverbs. If we would recognize the riches, but the devil puts it such a way that, oh, this happens and that happens and we don't ever get to it. Gross darkness. Listen, this statement, this quote is amazing, Brother Doug. Women want to look like men. Men want to look like women. Such a perversion. The whole thing, it looks like it's got a grip on the people and you can't change it. And he says, it looks like a great monster, a great blackness. A monster has got them grabbed. They can't get away from it. Too much Hollywood, too much television, too much other nonsense. Everything we got is polluted. If the work isn't cut short for the elected's sake, there'll be no flesh saved. Now, I just want to be honest. Do I subscribe to social media? No, and I see a benefit. But I'll say this. You need the Holy Ghost. I'm not here. And I'll say this. My wife's got it once in a while. I download it on my phone to watch a service somewhere. But if I leave that on there, I know that's a trap. And I don't want that to clog up anything. I want God to rule and reign, to have the full ownership. And I say, whatever I need to do to make myself available, I want to do that. But it's this monster that's upon us. So recognize your flesh is unredeemed. It'll gravitate to those things. Listen, I could play with y'all right now. I says, I wonder what they have over there I wonder if they got fried chicken or tacos. And the minute I say that, some of you are gone. You're thinking, yeah, I feel more like fried chicken. I don't feel like tacos. And you know what? I could do that for you. I don't want to play games here, but that's our flesh. But what about your mind? Oh, Brother Doug had this brother come from here and that one from there. Oh, they just lean that way. Listen, that's the enemy. But look beyond those things. Look to the word that's coming forward. Listen, the Holy Ghost only feeds on the word. The Holy Ghost in you. Let me read this to you. What Brother Branham would say, he's saying about prayer. He says, I find one place where the Son of God had to spend much time in prayer. Now, as Jesus was in the world, so are we. We think he was like super duper. No, he had flesh. He had a spirit realm that he had a flesh that could be tempted. He had a spirit realm that could be contaminated. But what did he do? He groaned. He travailed. And it says he spent much time in prayer. How much more do you and I have to spend in prayer? Now I'm coming to my point here. Where are we at? Okay, and he says now, sometimes when you're in prayer, God changes the complete destination of different things that's going to happen. I want you to think about this. There's a brother, he came years ago. He's from South Africa. He said they had a sister that was a singer in the church, and the sister came to him and said, "I would like to clean the church." And he says, sister, you do so much. You sing for the church. I would just like to clean the church. Okay, you can clean the church. And so she would clean the church. Several months later, the brother, he's preaching. And as he's preaching, somebody gets instantly healed in the service. And a little further, somebody else did something. And he can't figure out what's going on in the church. He comes to find out that this sister, as she's cleaning the church, she's praying, Lord, bless the service. The person that sits here, whatever their need is, may you bless them. May you help them. And what's happening? The seeds are being sown. God is moving. Friends, this isn't all on the ministers. We need your prayers, yes, But we all have a part. Listen, God does nothing outside of man, his agent. He says, now, sometimes something's going to happen, but you kneel in prayer. I was a young man running. I was out playing on a football team, as you obviously heard. Out with a party, bunch of guys, 2 a.m. in the morning. I was just running headlong into it. And the party would have kept on going. And all of a sudden, like 2 a.m., it just disperses. Some run there, some go there. And I go, so soon? I guess I'll go home. I come home, unlock the door. There's a living room. There's my mother kneeling in prayer. She said, I woke up about 2, and you weren't here, so I started praying. She broke up that whole party. I said, Mom, what are you doing? Friends, the power of prayer. We had a son that was wayward. And he was running out and doing things. And the Lord showed my wife certain things in dreams. And I woke up one morning, I'm praying, so burdened. And then I just had finished praying, and all of a sudden I get a text from an aunt who lives in Atlanta. And she says, and she knows nothing about us. She's a believer. And she says, I don't know what's going on, but I have a great burden for you and your family and your children. And I just want to let you know I woke up and started praying. And I just said, Lord, you heard my prayer. And you know what? By God's grace, that boy's making a turnaround. And God is doing things. It's not finished yet, but neither am I. And I'm not giving up. And I'm going to keep on pressing. Why? The enemy cannot rule over what God has ordained for us to rule over. There's a prevailing force in the neighborhood. Listen, wherever you come from, North Carolina, wherever you come from, Mexico, I appreciated the testimony. New Mexico, wherever you come from, you can make a difference. In the message, Taking Sides with Jesus, Brother Branham would say, that little woman that came and they were making a mockery of Jesus, Simon and all of them, and they were making a mockery of him. They wanted the miracles. They wanted all these things. But here's this woman, and she knows her past, and she buys this alabaster box, and she comes and anoints him. And there's different accounts of the story, but she's washing his feet with her hair. She's doing him a service. Brother Branham says this. He says, there's that women standing there. They were neglecting him. They were trying to blight his name. They thought they had stopped it. They thought they had fixed it so his revival could never be in that community. But it took one person that loved him to turn the whole situation. How do you know you're not that person? That in your community, you will do something for him. Take sides with him. Amen. Do him a service. Lord. Why? You're a force. Yes. More than you recognize. Amen. Brother Branham, working for the electric service company, he won a prize for selling the most lamps or whatever it was. So they had a function after, and there was a dance. Okay. Just hold on, Brother Manuel. I saw you dancing up here the other day. We love you. Listen, I'll be the woman. You be Brother Branham. So here's Brother Branham. He's in the middle. He's standing up against the wall. And here's this girl. She comes, just having a good old time. Do you ever hear the part where Brother Branham comes up to a woman's house and rings the doorbell, and then the song comes to the radio, and she goes dancing around the house. Well, anyway, now they're at a dance. And a woman comes up, and she comes to Brother Branham. You're Brother Branham, remember? Okay. Come on up. And she says, would you like to dance? And Brother Branham said, yes, I'd like to dance. So they come up to the dance floor. She brings him up. She brings him up to the dance floor. Stand right here so everybody can see you. And here's Brother Branham. This is a high honor. And so she says, now, if you know the story,
and you listen to the service on Thursday night, remember the title. Now, I know it's the, but there was something that happened when Joseph came. So anyway, she's there. And now Brother Branham says, before I dance, there's always something I do. What do? Bow the knee. And when Brother Branham bowed the knee, she breaks down. And the whole party was dismissed. Why? Because one man took a stand. This man took a stand. He bowed the knee. Friends, you stand for him.
Hallelujah.
Stand for him in your community. You're a young person at school. Stand for him. Thank you. Sister Florence Fakarian, she talked to Brother Branham and she prayed and she said, Brother Branham, I pray and I fast and I fast and I fast and I can't cast out devils. And he says, sister, you weren't born to do that. Your duty is just to fast. God is working on somebody else out there for that. Oh, he says, how I wish I could labor on that. One person has a burden and another person fulfills it. But who is it? It's the Lord working through us all. Now, I can't, Brother Doug can't, some of the ministers, they can't go to your schoolroom. They can't go to your neighborhood where you go shopping. My wife goes shopping. One of the few times we get to go shopping together is on holidays. And I love it. You know, I'll go down and I'll pick things that never come to our house from the grocery store. You know, and they're there. And, you know, every once in a while I call her up and I say, she said, honey, where are you? So I'm out shopping. Okay. Where are you shopping at? Oh, okay. Okay, well, have a nice day. Well, I'm like 10 minutes away. I thought, I'm going to drive my car over there. And so I'm going up and down the aisles looking for her. And I watch her. And I mean, it's amazing. Sister in a dress walking here. And everybody's looking, where did she come from? And so she's there, just going about her. I mean, it's lovely to watch. So she's out picking something. I come up behind her. I said, your husband likes that other kind better. And so now she's really suspicious. So I have to step up the game a little further. She was in Costco and I was in Costco and had poor cell reception. So I found a place that was good. And I couldn't track her, so I had to bring her to me. I said, you know where they have that cheese in those little packets and such? And I was standing right behind the pole where that cheese was. And she says, can you get me some of that? And then she's, okay, I'll see if I can find it. So here she comes. She comes right to me. And I go, hey! Isn't it fun to be a Christian? Wait till I tell you the story of the seven envelopes. I'm not going to do that this morning, okay? Maybe tonight. But you know what? Other brothers, ministry brothers, they say, you do those things? My wife heard about that. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Anyway. So, I mean, we need to remember, where do we start the restraint from? It has to start from inside. You feed on the Word. As Jesus prayed, and as we read this little story, this little quote rather, and as Jesus would pray, he said he had to stay, as Brother Branham puts it, he had to pray much to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in him. Who do you pray to? The God that dwells in you. You have to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that is in him. And Brother Branham would say here, he would say, if God knows what's going to happen, what would my prayer do? Now, why did Jesus say, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers.
He says part of that lays in human beings. The kingdom of God lays within the human being. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he says, and when the branches are yielded to the vine, then the fruit comes forth. God wants your hands. He wants your eyes. He wants your tongue. He wants your lips. He wants your ears. He wants your hands and so forth that you can bring forth fruit. Out of God and his people. God doesn't fall on denominations. He doesn't fall on mechanical devices. God, the Holy Spirit, fell on men. Man is God's agent. He says, now he goes on to say, he uses men. There is nothing outside of what he does, but by men. And sisters, you're included. Young men, young girls, you're all included. Hey, wherever you are, yield yourself to God. We have a family up in a far part of Canada. It's far away. It's as far away as Arizona is to North Carolina, let's say. And they were believers. They lived in the French part of Canada. They lived next to an unbelieving family. And the little girl that was there, as she's witnessing and playing with the other children, she just says, they ask her something about church. They were Catholic. And they asked, oh, no, that's not true. It's in the church age book. What's a church age book? Oh, I'll get you one. It's in the house. Amen. And the kids come in with a church age book. Amen. Hey, it was a witness. Amen. Friends, we need to just let it be wherever we are. We are not just inward. We are outward. We are God's restraining force. In your neighborhood, you can make a difference. In the school, you can make a difference. In your church, you can make a difference. A little girl one time, in the Bible, was a Syrian, captured by Syrians. She fell into the hands of the Syrians, and she's in the house of Naaman, the leper. And the mistress is crying. Well, listen, that little girl, she's there. She grew up under an influence. She grew up in a home. And as the mistress is crying, well, my husband's a leper. Oh, I wish that he had only come into Israel under Elijah. Now, nobody had ever been healed of leprosy yet. But there was an influence. There was a realm. There was a dimension. And under that dimension, a little child fell into that. And out of that came one of the greatest healings ever. And Naaman goes to the king of Israel and says, I want you to heal me of my leprosy. He's picking a fight with me. Yeah. No. And then luckily there was a servant. He's talking about Elisha. Oh, what are we under, friends? There are more that are with us than are against us. Yeah, the enemy's running, but he's got to bow the knee. He's got to bow to what is in here. What God has made us. We are more than conquerors. We've been made to subdue. We've been made to change the situation. We have been empowered to be what we are in this day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is an amazing scripture to me. It talks about the coming of the Lord and our gathering in verse 1. Don't be soon shaken, troubled, neither by spirit or by word, but the day of Christ is at hand. Now drop down to verse 6. Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Brother Doug was at our church. He just poured out a blessed thought about the angels holding back the four winds. And he talked about the potential of world wars and things. But God held it back. Now, just take this passage of scripture. Now, he that withholdeth, that it might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, a superficial reading of that would sound like, what does that mean? In the first seal, Brother Branham comes and he clarifies that. And he's actually coming to the scripture. He says, oh, I just tremble when I think of this. And he says, the mystery of only he, God, who now letteth, until he, the bride, he says, the church, be taken out of the way. So in other words, you can't, the devil can't do anything until while we're still here. You want to find a type for that? You go to the type of here's God. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But before I destroy them, I'm going to visit my friend Abraham. And I'm going to come by Abraham. And I know I got a visitation with Abraham. And he says, and I like what he says. I know Abraham because he's going to raise his children in the right way. So he's seeing something in Abraham that Abraham doesn't see. Now he's coming to Abraham. He could have gone straight to Sodom. But he had Abraham, his friend. And he comes by Abraham and he says, now Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham starts negotiating. And he starts negotiating, going back and forth and back and forth. And they negotiate from 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. And then it says, and he left off. And it looks like, that's the end of it. It looks like Abraham failed. But then the next scene you find is Genesis 19. And here's the angels taking Lot by the hand. Until you come out, we can't do anything. And you think, oh, there's something in Lot. Actually, it wasn't even Lot. It was Abraham interceding for Lot that made the difference. Because the Bible says, and you go down to, I think it's in Genesis, and you can find it in verse 29, it says, and the Lord remembered Abraham. And Lot escaped. Huh? He remembered Abraham, and Lot escaped. Hey, you've had this happen. People who don't believe a word that you believe. But they're in trouble. Where do they come to? They come to you. Why? They recognize something in you. This is God's restraining force. You are the one. If we could see the place that we are at. The bride of Christ isn't just a hire learning to look down. No, we are intercessors. We are there for our family. We are there for our children. We are there for our community. We are there for Israel. Now, you're all acquainted with the message and how Brother Branham crisscrossed the USA in 1956. And then he said, after that, America was finished. Hey, America just plodded along. And Canada's included. We're twins, he said. So you might not like your northern twin, but I'm here. Anyway, and nothing happened. And then 1963. So what happened between 1956 and 1963? The nation was gone, but there was still a church there. And when, as long as the church was there, see, the nation had rejected, but while the church was there, the nation was okay. But in 1963, the church world rejected the message in all its fullness, the opening of the seven seals. When they rejected it, then the nation started to fall apart. Then schools went from chewing gum to drug use to guns to different things. Why? It shows the power that is within the word and the bride that is a representative.
Amen.
Listen, look it up. I think it's in Greatest Battle Ever Fought. Satan's army is commissioned to bring these diseases and things, but God's army is commissioned to cast them out.
Glory.
Cast them out.
Glory.
They can't stay. Why? It's not us. It's that what God has placed
Glory.
Within us. It is that seed gene. So, only he who now letteth until he be taken out of the way. You know, sometimes we're on our journey. We're not even in the place we should be yet. And Satan's there. He knows there's something about you. And he comes and he has this approach. I don't know if you've mentioned this, Brother Doug, but he has this conversation with God. And he says, let me loose on them. No, not yet. And then he comes and he comes. Okay, go ahead now. They're ready for it. Why? Because the seed is not heir with the shuck. The shuck held it for a while, but the seed is coming into full bloom. The seed, under the seed, is everything. Listen, that Satan desired to have is in the seed. Hey, if you speak to this mountain, ask what you will, and it will be given to you. Why? That power is in the seed. That was in him when he went to Calvary. That was in the message. It wasn't just the voice of the prophet, but it was the voice of the Spirit. And it's the voice of the bride as well. And it's in us. Not by good that we have done, but it's in us.
Amen.
You know the scripture that supersedes or precedes that? And it says,
If you have any ought, forgive. Satan wants to take you in a religious thing. Ah, that didn't really happen. It did happen. He can't forgive, but you can forgive. You know what? There's times when, hey, I got to come and ask forgiveness for my son or my wife because I didn't kind of handle that quite right. But you know what? After I do that, I feel a lot better. And you know what? I feel a lot freer. I'm not carrying around some religious cloak of some sort, trying to make it out that I'm something. No, I'm nothing. But he's everything in me. He's everything in you. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. I've got a couple more scriptures. We'll wind down for today. This morning I'm speaking on God's restraining force. The Lord willing, I want to speak on God's activating force tonight. But Genesis chapter 15. I love this. This is Abraham, and God is coming and speaking to him. And he says in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. And he said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit? Now, one thing I find is always amazing is Abraham's attitude to with what God gave him. It was his attitude when he rescued Lot that he didn't have anything to do with what the king of Sodom offered him. But in the same breath, he turned around and he meets Melchizedek and said, I'll give you a tenth of everything. Where did that come from? God knew it was there. Now, this passage of scripture, and I don't know if I've got the quote with me today, but Brother Bram says he tells Abraham because he knew what Abraham would do with this. And he says, how do I know I'll inherit it? Well, take a heifer, 3 years, a she-goat of 3 years, a ram of 3 years, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and he divided them in the midst, and he laid each piece one against the other, but the birds he divided not. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of all of this, but there's types to all of these things. But here's the amazing thing in verse 11. So this is a sacrifice on Abraham's journey. This is his sanctification, if you will. You can say it. And he says, now, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now, here's Abraham offering the sacrifice. And he could have said, okay, here's my sacrifice, Lord. And he walks away. But you know what? He was circumspect about what he offered. And now he sees something's coming. There's a bird coming. He drives it away. And the Bible says he did that from until the sun went down. So he's there watching over it. Brother Branham will talk about this. He says, now, brethren, notice how Abraham watched the birds off of it. He kept the sacrifice clean. The message I referred to earlier, Brother Branham talked about, what house will you build me? He said, what house will I build you? He says, keep the message clean. Don't let no smut come upon it. Friends, Satan wants to pervade our homes. He wants to pervade our marriages. He wants to get in. He wants to cause little feelings. You know what we need to do? Start by blocking them out of your mind. You know, when you find your mind, you know, you're going in a battle. You know how you start? Start in your thought life. Say, Lord, I don't need to come to church battling my feeling against brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you know, or what happened on the way to church or these things. But keep the sacrifice clean. Keep your spirit clean. Keep your mind clean. And he says, now Abraham, he says, he kept the sacrifice clean. Oh brother, keep the vultures off of it. That's what I'm trying to do now. Keep the old worldly Hollywood vultures out of the church. Keep them away from our women and our brothers. And you can have all those big old silly jokes and things and let them have it. That's their kingdom. Our kingdom is from above. It's a type of Abraham's seed in this last day, casting out devils from the sacrifice. I'm very aware that the enemy hides like a cloak under secrecy. You can come to a meeting like this and rejoice, but there can be little things that are underlying. And listen, I'm not the pastor here, but I am a pastor, so I'm shifting to this side just for a moment. It's the pastoral side. This, if you notice, this is the evangelist side. That's where the dance happened. That's where all of this is the pastoral side. Listen, The enemy will hide. He'll hide under religion. He'll hide under the message. I don't want to form. I don't want to be a halfway minister. Read the message, total deliverance. God didn't come to make halfway Christians. Halfway ministers. Now you can be halfway, but I don't want to be halfway. Because that's not the nature of the seed inside of me. This seed inside of me comes, it becomes me to fulfill all righteousness. Not just some righteousness. Why? I'm not going to be the bride because I said I'm the bride. I'm not going to be because I've got an alliance with this church and that church. And no, I've got something inside of me that's resonating. And it says you can't think those things. You can't. Listen, the hour is coming, friends, where we've got to be totally sincere. We can't just stay where we are. And I'm trying to encourage you. Let's be renewed. Let's take a step higher. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's dig in our own minds. Because the water is coming. He's gonna fill the ditches. He's gonna deliver us. But let's dig a little deeper. I want to encourage you. Not just today in this service, but when you go home. When you wake up in the morning, if you used to wake up and what used to be in prayer, and now you're looking on your phone for 20 minutes. Why don't you say, Lord, I'm gonna set this aside. I watched my son. He's got to leave in a few moments here. I told him I'm not going to cut the service short just for him. But I watched my son. And when God got a hold of his life, he left his phone charging downstairs. Because that thing can set you back as a young man. I met a man who was, he had made a rule in his house. He wasn't even a believer. He was a Christian. He said, he had a number of children. He says, we have a bench in the back. The phones all stay there. When we come in the house, when we have supper at the supper table, we look at each other directly, not through the phone. Oh, I can see you. Do you want to have a conversation? You ever go to a restaurant and there's a couple on each side and they're on their phone the whole time? I said, I feel like coming over there. Hey, I'm the manager. Is everything all right here? I say, you can look at each other. You know, we had a sister, she lives up north, and she's in a restaurant on the Alaska Highway, and a couple came in and they were arguing. And the man says to the woman, says, you're not ordering nothing. And the woman, okay. So the guy comes with the order. He says, well, we're having a cup of tea and a piece of pie. And she can have one too, a cup of tea. I'll have the pie. And so the sister that takes the order goes in the back, says, that table over there gets a cup of tea, and a piece of pie. So the mother, who's in the background, is a godly Christian. She just comes out there. She didn't know anything about anything else. And she puts the piece of pie between the two, and she puts two spoons, two forks, and says, it is so nice to see people sharing. You just don't see that anymore. The atmosphere changed. They walked out holding hands. God bless that sister. If she can change it, you can change it. We are more than conquerors. What is greater, the darkness or that little candle that you hold? That little candle changes everything. One more scripture, Daniel chapter 10. We're going to close with this. Daniel, we'll pick some of this up then later today. Daniel chapter 10. Now I want you to think just for a moment. Abraham's sacrifice, what we have to do to keep the message clean and all the different things that are around us. You know, Brother Branham would type this out in different ways, but let's just take this just as we close today. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The thing was true. The time appointed was long. I understood the thing and the understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He didn't eat anything pleasant. Nothing came. I didn't anoint myself till 3 weeks were fulfilled. Now, something was revealed to him and it set him in motion. And now drop down to verse 7, if you will. And he sees this being clothed in all these elements. He said, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. And he says, the men that were with me didn't see it. A great quaking. They fled to hide themselves. I was alone. and there was no strength in me. My comeliness was turned into corruption. I retained no strength. I heard the voice of his words. And he says, you know, so he, if you can catch the story, if I can just paraphrase it, something happened and came to Daniel, and he just began to pray and seek the Lord. And there was no answer day one, day two, day three. And finally, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and now there's an answer. And he says, a hand, verse 10, a hand touched me, which sat upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word, I stood trembling. Now, listen to this. We don't know what we're doing sometimes. You don't know what you're doing when you bow your knee in prayer. And he says, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, the minute you set your face, I already was on my way. I saw your heart. I saw your attitude. From the first day that you set your heart, did you know that today you can make a determination? I am not going home the same. You can say, today I am going to be changed. I am going to go different. I'm going to take the message more seriously. I am not going to slip into old habits. But today, the minute you do that, something happens in a heavenly realm. You don't even know about it. And he says, now, from the first day you did set your heart to understand and to chasten before God, your words were heard. And now listen to the last part. And I am come for your words. What do you desire? What is on your heart? Because whatever you desire, heaven is listening. If we set our heart correctly, and the angels of God are there to come and assist us and bring it to pass. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Now here's this messenger. He's come, but he's fighting his way through. And it took him 3 weeks to get there. Now, that's the kingdom of Persia. What about the kingdom of Laodicea? What about when you set your heart? I'm going to just encourage you, don't ever let go. My mother that prayed for me, that woke up at 2 a.m. and disrupted many a party, that woman was not stopping until she saw her son saved. And God rewarded her, not only to see her son saved, but to be preaching. That took a lot of humbling to a guy that had a lot of pride. Why? I was on the football team. I was the captain. I was all these other things. I'll tell you what, I had to throw that all away. And I'm thankful that God looked down. But why was it? Because a mother wouldn't let go. We'll maybe, Lord willing, go into this tonight. But he says, now, this angel comes. He can't even do it himself. So now what does he do? He says, but Michael. Who's Michael a type of? Christ. Amen. Now listen, it's not just an angel who's a messenger. But it's Christ that's coming. Amen. Who's coming this last day? Christ has come. It isn't just a prophet. It is the Son of Man, yes. But it is God himself that has come down. And he's come down not just for Brother Branham. He's come down for every one of us. He's come to hear the mother. He's come to hear the son. He's come to hear every one of us. And he says, he came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. And he said, I got a message for you. And I told him the message, etc., etc. Drop down to verse 20. And he said, do you know wherefore I come unto you? Now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, the prince of Grecia will come. And I will show you what is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. I want you to think about the God that was there in Daniel's time. In a type of the restoration. But I want you to think about the God that's here in the reality of the restoration. I want you to think how he's fighting on your behalf. Friends, when you leave and you get some kind of blues, listen, that isn't just a blues. That's a demon spirit. That's the enemy that comes to discourage you and depress you. You can't help it sometimes, but you need to shake it off. There's a sister, she said, Brother Adam, she's praying. And he says, I see you in the afternoon. You kind of get the blues coming on you. And he says, you get real weak, you get real tired. You slip into that. Listen, he's looking in a realm. If he looked in our realm, what would he see? But now here's the whole part of this, is we were born to bind those things. Those things should have no dominion over us. Why? The book has become opened. And I'm not just looking at what I was in a natural, but I'm looking at what He has made me. The purpose that He's made me is to rule. It's to reign. It's to subdue. It's to multiply. It's to replenish. It is not just to have a family that attends, but to have a Holy Ghost filled family. It is to have our children like olive plants around us. It is for us to prosper and be made well and in health. It's all ours. Let's have the musicians come. Now, I just think about nature for a moment. Here's God. He's got everything timed so perfectly in the earth. Here's the sun that rises, warms the sky. Here's the ocean and the tides, all these different things. And the tides are rolling in and they're coming a certain way. And Brother Ram says, they come so far and then they stop. Why do they stop? Why? There's a moon rising over here. Who is the moon? It is a type of Christ. On earth, what? Holding back the tides that would flow over us. Who's on earth today? A church, a representative holding back the tides. God's restraining force. Are you a part of that army? Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Spirit of lawlessness. But we can come and we can break that up. Now in the Church Age book, Brother Bram says, the false vine and the true vine exist together. He says, the false vine will never overcome the true vine. Neither will the true vine be able to bring the false vine into a saving relationship. But we can withstand it. Listen, I don't have to accept everything that the Democrats and the Republicans throw at me. Sorry. We got the same thing in our country too. I don't have to accept their agendas. We live in Alberta. You don't know what Alberta is? It's the Texas of the North. We're a bit rebellious up there. We're a little bit uncouth in some of our ways. But you know what? I thank God that there's a people, that there's a seed that He placed on the earth that will not be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Listen, I said some things, but I want to take them to your heart. Don't let the enemy, when you see devices coming. I never saw this till the other day. I'm reading Brother Branham, and he says all these things and this device-osity. I said, he knew. And he said, and I read another place, and the televisions and the things. You know what they call the internet? It's called the Internet of Things. When you see those things start to come and creep in your house, not just in your house, but into your spirit realm. When you see it, I think you need to say, Jehoshaphat, time to rise up. Jehoshaphat, because you're here, these other things have got to be dispelled. Create an atmosphere. Friends, you got to work at it. It's not going to happen by itself. But you're here for a reason. You can create an atmosphere. If a sister can clean the church and cause healings, what can the church of God do? What can the army of God do when we all get together? And the enemy will try to point the guns inward. I think we sort of point them outward. And say, it's the enemy. We have a common enemy we're after. It's not the enemy without. It's the enemy that slips in underneath. And I say, God help me. God help every preacher. God bless Brother Doug. God bless Brother Andy. God bless this church. How many will agree with me together? May God increase this church. May God bless this church. May God bless everybody that attended. May God be with us on the cars that are going home. May He give us a new charge. May He let us know there's a force that's going down here. We are not weaklings. Listen, you just step in. Sometimes you step in the way you were talking about that devil worship church. Yeah. Brother Doug, you didn't go out to attack them. You just stepped into your place.
Right.
And you stepping in their place made them uncomfortable.
Right.
You know what?
Yes.
Our duty is not to be ox that got to fast and pray. And no, we're under a different anointing. Yeah. Let's be what God made us. And part of what he made us is to fly a little higher.
Amen.
You know what? And I say, Lord, let me be what you made me to be. I want to be everything that God made me to be. I had a song in my mind, but it slipped the hard drive. Oh, my goodness. I'm one of them. Are you one of them this morning? Why don't you start with the first verse? Brother Andy, you just sing where you're at if you've got a microphone.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, all glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them. Learned to be nor boast of worldly fame. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Start the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart, all glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm glad I'm one of them. I'm glad I'm on his team. Brother Freddie, I'm glad you're on his team. Because what I can't do, you can do. Brother Leon, I'm glad that you're a part of that team. Brother Mark, God bless you. Appreciate you. Brother Andrew, I'm glad we're all part of the same team. I want to work together with this team. Brother Doug, Brother Andy, I'm so glad that we're part of the same team.
Amen.
Why don't we sing that chorus one more time? And what I'm going to do is, I know you can all multitask because you've all sat at a restaurant and you've talked to your spouse and you've looked at something. So I'm going to ask you to sing the song and then shake hands with somebody around you. Is that all right? Let's sing the chorus.
I'm one of them, one of them. That I can say I'm one of them, I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Brother Manuel, I'm glad you're on the team. You're my blocker. More than a dance partner, you're a blocker. Amen. Do you love the Lord today? Can we just change the order and just bow our heads for a moment? Just ask the Lord to not let these words pass us by. Just play softly, sister, if you will. Lord Jesus, we want to say thank you. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been good to have the liberty of the Spirit. Lord, we've gone on a limb in different places, but I pray it all be in order, Lord. And I pray, O Lord, that as you've allowed us to feel comfortable with one another, and as you've ministered to us in different ways these last services, Lord, we're asking now, don't let it leave us, but Lord, let it press us on. And Father, you have us here for a purpose. You have us here for a reason. Lord, as much as there's a nuclear arsenal in a land far away that's got America with a name, we're so glad that that is bound and held because there's a bride still here. And a prophet's words that said, not one bomb will fall while the bride is still here. Lord, and if we're here, we are here for more than just time and space. But you've made us to be workers in the economy, the agents of God. Lord, I pray that you would make a difference in our lives and the places and the people we rub shoulders with. Lord, let the message live. Let the kingdom of darkness know that God is on earth yet today in a people, oh God. I pray you'd encourage every home, every father. I pray you'd encourage every mother, every child, the teenagers. Encourage the pastors, the ministers, the musicians. Lord, we all make a difference. I pray, oh Father, I ask now your blessing on this church and our brother Doug. Thank you for him. We so respect, Lord, what you've done through him and the church here. Lord, I pray now, in the days to come, Lord, surely there's more. You have greater things. I pray that you'll let them walk into it. I pray, oh Father, that that which you've placed within would go before him. Father, we're in a great time of darkness, but we thank you for this light. Father, bless your people as we commit this afternoon, this evening, yet in your hands. In Jesus' name. We'll walk in the light, Brother Andy, as you come.
We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright.